Friday, May the 26th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. We have great conversations on this show, and we're going to have a great one today because it is the Memorial Day weekend holiday, the official kickoff to summer. Remember, summer officially does, well, I just said it was the official kickoff, didn't I? Well, I get the official day of the first day of summer is June 21st, but this is the official kickoff weekend, three-day weekend for most people. Cookouts, fun, exciting events, adventures, and hopefully everybody enjoys those this coming weekend. Now remember, though, this show can be heard live every Friday morning, 9:15 until 10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning, 8:15 until 9 a.m., and then Wednesday and Thursday from 3:15 until 4 p.m., or you can get it on demand on the website, wwgh1071.com, first show under Program Archives, and later today, as it is every Friday, it's available on the Facebook page. Pastor Steve, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
Doing good. Memorial Day, as I was saying this morning, and I was telling the audience in the first hour, I come up the boulevard to get here in the morning, and every Memorial Day I forget, but I'm reminded by the flags that line the boulevard of what this day meant. And my dad, being a was a Vietnam veteran, who was injured in the war, not horribly, he worked, you know, all of his life, but I always think of him when I see those flags going down the boulevard, so I like seeing those.
Absolutely. I just had a cousin go home to be with God here, a few months ago, and he was a, he had a rough time in Vietnam. He was in some of the worst of it, and he stayed a true blue patriot all the way till the day that he died. I think that he even got to go on the one thing I love to do, that honor flight they do is really neat. You know, they take veterans and they do that. But, you know, I'll tell you, I wonder sometimes if you ever see those bracelets people would wear that said WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Yep.
Well, most of the time when people wore them, they were never considering what Jesus would do in most of their actions. It's kind of like someone that wears a cross around their neck and doesn't know what that symbolizes or even pay attention to it. I hope that this Memorial Day that people don't see the flags and not truly recognize what that embodies.
Well, it's very, you know, when I think about my, it's weird because my father never talked about Vietnam, but I don't think it was, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't think it was out of a tragedy, because I don't think it was that. But he enlisted. He was not drafted. And a lot of people were during that war. But his injury did not come from combat, although he was in combat. He was rappelling out of a helicopter, and the rope snapped.
Ouch.
Yeah, so thank goodness he was closer to the bottom than the top, or there would be no me. But it injured his leg, so he had to have a knee surgery, and of course they discharged him because of that. But aside from that, because he would tell that story, but I don't remember people asking, though, either. Vietnam was a strange war, and I was very young at that time.
I think that a lot of Vietnam veterans don't know how people are going to react to the fact that they've been in Vietnam. Vietnam, you know, it was so hard. I am old enough to remember. I was just a couple years behind the actual conflict itself. When I got out of high school, they had literally just left Saigon. And anyway, you know, it's one of those things where they were treated so poorly. And, you know, the whole situation with Lieutenant Calley and that whole group of the My Lai massacre and all that, you remember all that.
Oh, yes.
And who knows where the honest truth of that ever even came completely out. But, you know, that was fodder for those people that were anti-war demonstrators, like the Jane Fondas and whatnot and the John Kerry's. And, you know, they ran with it. And I don't think that the hard thing is the people that ran with those stories and really made the veterans look terrible. Most of them were not in the thick of the worst and the worst of what went on and saw what those poor guys went through daily and still do. I've got a friend, I'm not sure that he's living now, but he has really bad, reoccurring, chronic, not so scientific term, he has jungle rot that he got in the jungle, which they got from that hot, humid water they were always in, and his it would just come to the surface on his legs and feet, and just a horrible infection. And you know, they got that stuff, they lived with it daily. The flies, the mosquitoes, the snipers, the you name, on and on and on. Those guys had a tough way. And you know what, the bottom line is, they didn't run to Canada. They were there because they wanted to serve their country, and they thought that they needed to do what most of them did not like when their number was pulled in that lottery, which they did that lottery system. And a lot of guys enlisted first. You usually, supposedly you would get a little better deal if you enlisted first. But
that's the one thing I remember, because my dad did enlist, but that's the one thing I remember him telling me. He said, I enlisted because I heard they were not as rough on people who enlisted as people who were drafted.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of people did that, but like in my brother-in-law's case, he just got married, and everything stopped right before his number popped, which was kind of great, but he was right there, and he was not, because of the lottery system, some guys didn't have to go. It wasn't just a general draft of 18-year-olds. Matter of fact, when I got out of high school, there's a couple years where you didn't have to sign up for selective service, and I fit into that little category. We didn't have to sign up because they were trying to get guys out of the military. But what I'm getting at, I guess, with the Vietnam vets is, man, they have had a rough way to go, and they were looked at as dirty. They were looked at as bad. Of course, a lot of things came back from Vietnam that didn't come back from our previous wars, like drug addiction, extreme drug addiction, because that was one of the tools that was used to demoralize our troops, was the free and easy access to heroin and all kinds of drugs. And guys did struggle with that. I knew a guy years ago that he had told me, he said, you know, he when he came home, he knew that he would spend every dime that he sent home and saved trying to get what he got over there, because it was so pure that he just said, I'm not doing it. And that's what led him to quitting. But a lot of guys came home and just spent through everything and died. PTSD was horrible. But you got to love those guys. I mean, you see an old veteran, and if they were, especially if they were in theater, which, you know, means they were there, you better respect them, because there was a time when they could probably knock your block off without batting an eye.
Well, I'll tell you what's very interesting to me. On Wednesday, I think it was, we had Craig Nelson on, who's a New York Times bestselling author for books on World War II. And he's just written his third one, and it's a great book, and they sent me a copy in the galleys because it was just released on Tuesday, and we had him on Wednesday. And I was talking to him Wednesday morning on the air, and I said, why is it? You know, we've had two world wars, and we've had Vietnam, and we've had Iraq, and we've had the Civil War, and we've had things like that. I said, why is it that World War II is looked upon so reverentially? Why is it looked on with such reverence, and why do we study that more than any other war? Because it's certainly not the most recent war. And he said, because it's the only war that had a clear good and bad. Hitler was bad. Mussolini was bad. It was trying to take over Europe. We were the good guys. The Holocaust was going on. It was the only war where there was a clear good and bad. And I think, talking about Vietnam, one of the main problems there was the objective kept changing. And it was also not a war in which we were trying to stop world domination. We got involved on our own.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I think Hollywood's had a big hand in it too. Hollywood has always depicted the war heroes and the patriotic songs and White Christmas, to give you a good example. There's so many others that show that patriotic American side of things that when they even showed the war and what went on in it. Now, you know, if the most memorable thought people can think of when they think, oh, let me think about a movie about Vietnam or a veteran. You know, what'll pop into your mind is Gary Sinise's character in Forrest Gump. And what was he? An amputated alcoholic that was bitter and hated, and the war was lousy. And that's the way it was depicted completely. And honestly, there were some touching stories. There were some kind and good things done. There were some relationships built, but we weren't allowed to see that, and we didn't see it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting point you're making, because There are exceptions to every rule, but World War II, the people who came back from World War II, the soldiers, they didn't come back and say, "Boy, we shouldn't have unseated Hitler." But there were a fair amount of Vietnam veterans who are still alive today who I have interviewed. Veterans Day, there's a great group of Vietnam veterans who come in, and I'm so glad they're a part of that, who are, they say, "We fought in the war, and yes, you've got to treat the troops well, but we didn't understand what the objective was, and we certainly don't agree with it."
No, they didn't. I had a friend that lost his leg all the way to his hip in Vietnam on a mine. And he tells me the story of, you know, he was on a gurney and he was just obviously in pain. And he was just screaming and cussing, you know, "You guys brought me over here," and he just let it all out.
Yeah.
Know, like, "Why are we even here?" And he never got over that. And I'll tell you something, have you ever interviewed Pat Street?
I don't think so.
Man, that would be such a good interview. Most people in Marion know Pat. Pat was the pastor here at Salem Evangelical in the middle of town forever. He's been extremely, extremely involved with FCA, written books and study books for FCA. Pat is a Vietnam veteran, has a really interesting story. His name is Pat Street. His nickname in Vietnam was Dead End Street. And they were in the time when everybody was how many cigarettes can you inhale and how many beers can you swig, and the worst of it. They were in the worst of it. He lost one of his best friends, who was actually covering for him, to my understanding, when he got shot, and it broke his heart. Pat came back from Vietnam and got involved with a group of people and found Christ and spent the rest of his life serving the Lord in every way that he could. And a lot of it came out of that Vietnam experience. Scott, you would have a great interview with him.
I might do that because I love hearing those stories. Last year on Veterans Day, because I always try to bring the veterans in, we had two Second Iraq War veterans. We had two Vietnam veterans and a Vietnam nurse. And what was fascinating that day, because I didn't know really any of them, at one point I did say, and they were different wars, I said that question, "What did you think of the war itself?" And they all, even though they all participated, disagreed with the war. Now, disagreed, didn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's no way that you could agree with the war.
Yeah.
With the way that it went down and what happened. You know, the old story went from way back. I'm trying to remember. It's been years ago. That, you know, there was a lull before they went in and turned everything completely over. And some of the key players were getting together and deciding what was going to happen in more of a worldwide business sense than anything else. It was a horrible war. There was no clear objective ever. We could have went in there and blew that thing up in 6 months. When I say blow up, I don't mean physically. Metaphorically, I mean it. They could have went in there and done what they needed to do in 6 months to a year and been out of there and everything, you know. But they didn't. They went in there and it cost a lot of lives, a lot of bloodshed. It was a horrible environment. You know, other than Southeast Asia and Philippines in World War II, that was the first time we were ever really heavily in that kind of environment. These guys weren't used to it. They left the cornfields of Ohio and found themselves a couple weeks later in grass up over their head and poisonous snakes everywhere and heat that was unbearable and people shooting at you from, you couldn't see them. I mean, just on the stress load was just unbelievable for those guys. But, you know, going back to Memorial Day, I think the thing that we have to understand is Memorial Day, first of all, is to memorialize those people that didn't come home. It's not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is for veterans, and we honor those veterans, and we also honor active service. But we don't. Memorial Day is for those that never got a chance to come home.
Right, and I think one of the things, much like anybody who would condemn a soldier, which nobody should ever do, and I know soldiers also get mad at this, is when people who didn't serve, not that they, you know, had to, but speak for them. I think there is a problem with that from time to time. And I'm talking about people in the media, people who write books, who were never in active combat, who will all of a sudden write about things that allegedly the veteran should have felt or did. I don't think they like that very much.
Because of my age, I've over the years, I've had a lot of veteran friends from Vietnam. Not just Frank comes in now. Frank's a Vietnam vet, but he's actually was never in theater. Frank was in Belgium most of the time, and anyway, that's beside the point. He was in a supporting role that was very, very, very important, and he worked in a hospital as a medic. But the point is that I have so many friends and have known so many people over the years that most of what I think and say about the vet, it comes from conversations with them. But as far as I understand that, they don't need the media and they don't need people that have never had any clue about service, you know, talking for them. But at the same time, I think that we need to speak and honor mothers, wives, children that never met their father. And we have to remember something too, Scott, that every war that we fought in this country, for the most part, has been protecting the freedoms and liberties we have. That particular war was not protecting the freedoms and liberties that we have. Of course, it wanted to stop more aggression in that area, which essentially is kind of the same thing in a way. But I think that's where we've lost a lot of war support, is there's usually no fear about them coming here. Now we're just letting everyone in here. But we have to realize, it really bothers me, Scott, the sacrifice that people made in this country from the Revolutionary War and prior to it and all the way to today, to make this country a better place so that you can sit there doing what you're doing. I can sit here doing what I'm doing. They're not going to run in here and arrest us and throw us in jail. We don't have some warring factions in our country where we're all shooting each other. Well, we don't have, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, think about living in a country where they might just come through your village and wipe everybody out, a particular rebel group or a group of guerrillas. It's happening all over the world, but it doesn't happen here. And these people fought for that. They fought for our religious freedom. And to see and hear the lack of respect for them that's going on today, just in the things that we're practicing in this country and doing, and the freedoms that are being stripped from us completely. They fought so hard for those freedoms, and those freedoms today can be so fleeting that a stroke of a pen takes them right out the window. And how heartbreaking for those families that never had dad come home, or never had mom come home, or sister, or brother, or son, or daughter. And a lot of women lost their lives, too. An awful lot of women lost their lives. And even some of them that didn't. I can't imagine, you know, the work of doctors and physicians and nurses and orderlies in field hospitals and the atrocities and the horrible stuff that they saw. One thing I want to mention, too, that I did not realize until I was at, I was in some ongoing training at Ohio State, when I was an EMT, and the surgeon there had several tours in Afghanistan. And what I didn't realize, I never really entered my mind about this. We always see in all our shows like MASH and all those, you know, working on people and soldiers coming in. When our field hospitals are in the field, they probably work on more locals than they do our own servicemen. Locals come in from bombings, from whatever the case, from being shot. Not only that, but they also treat people that just have general bad situations going on, infections they don't know how to treat, wounds that are horrible. The things that our veterans do in the field to help the local people in wherever we're at is better medical care than they've ever seen or could ever imagine in their life. And then when some of those doctors, you've heard of Doctors Without Borders that go over and work. When doctors and people and veterans get killed helping those people and killed by the very culture that they're helping, I think that's a very sad thing.
It is, and I often think about what the weekend has become, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it being a three-day weekend and people taking vacations and people doing fun things because the weather's warm and they have this three-day weekend and cookouts and all of that. That's fine, but I hope at some point you do take time out to realize what's going on and maybe make a trip to a cemetery. I mean, listen, the rules in cemeteries are very difficult. We talked about this last week. I'll admit to it. I am not going to go to a cemetery and plant flowers because I will not go back to water them. Nobody else is going to water them, and they're just going to be dead very quickly. But just to go where your family is, or to go to one of these speeches that will be given Sunday or Monday at some cemeteries, can be a very moving experience, and you do understand the gun salutes that go on. I think that's important.
I think it is, too, and just to, again, I would encourage someone to go to a cemetery and walk it, and go to the older section, excuse me, where you'll see a lot of epitaphs that are related to some of these people, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of them have pictures on the stones. There's even pictures of people in their service uniforms, and you know, honoring those people is just so important, and just remembering what they've done. I mean, honestly, we would not be in this country having the freedom we do without those people that went over there and sacrificed for it. You know, these countries, like Lee mentioned, World War II a little while ago, they wanted world dominance. They wanted to take our freedom, much like China does today. And we better be careful. That freedom was hard fought for, and we better realize we got to hang on to it. I heard something really weird, you know, not to get too far off the subject, but something this week that I was hearing that really bothered me a lot is the amount of farm ground that foreign entities are buying up, and specifically China, and sometimes they're even doing it through second and third parties and shell companies, but they're buying up millions and millions of farm acres in our country. And I'm thinking about that. Are you kidding me? This is American soil that we fought for. And there's no question that the Chinese have made it very clear that they are not our friend and that they do want what they want. They do want dominance, and they do want to dominate us. And, you know, to give you an example of how easy it is for things to be controlled, I don't know if you guys remember back during the time of COVID, when suddenly we had this huge meat shortage. And there were local farmers here in Marion County were having to kill hogs and bury them because the meat lockers couldn't take them. And they couldn't keep feeding them because they had no feed to feed them. And it was like they were actually calling people saying, hey, if you want a hog and know how to butcher it, come and get it because we're going to, you know. And what really happened was Smithfield Farms is owned by China now, largest processor in our country. They were shutting down the meatpacking plants for no reason. And there's a good example. They just put a huge crunch and a slam right in our, because they own the meat. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, we got to be very careful and realize this is America. And we need to understand that. And we need to live up to what an American is supposed to be. When I think of American, I think of God and country. This country was founded on the principles of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, liberty being having the liberty to do what is right to do, having a desire to be anything that you want to be, not being some trashy person that just flies a flag around and claims to be an American. I saw something. I was watching something the other day. It was one of these reality shows. Sorry, guys.
Oh, boy.
I was bored. I was bored, and it was on. It was late at night, and I couldn't sleep. And anyway, it was these guys that were bail bondsmen. It wasn't Dog and that guy. It was somebody else, these bail bondsmen. And they went out to arrest this guy, and he lives on kind of a little out-in-the-middle-of-nowhere farm compound, and he's got it's him and a couple people and a couple women. And you could tell it was pretty rough. definitely some illegal activity going on there, if you know what I mean. But they went to arrest this guy, and they arrested him for jumping bail. And, of course, you know, there were drugs involved, all the stuff that was involved. But it really struck me when they were cuffing this guy. He had a big American flag all the way down his arm and freedom stuff written on him. Buddy, I got to tell you something. If you're ever out there listening to this show, I don't care what tattoo you put on you. That is not American, your behavior. And don't say you represent my country and be nasty, mean, wicked, dishonest, in the underbelly of society, and then try to say that you're a proud American. A proud American loves other people. They respect each other. They respect and love God. They respect and love their country. I understand that the freedom of our country, you can be an atheist and be an American too. I would prefer you not be an atheist. But the truth of the matter is, you got to love this country and what it stands for, the freedom it stands for. And you got to respect those people and respect their religious rights and their beliefs. And you got to respect that all men were created equal. And as Martin Luther King said, you know, they were endowed by their creator. And as it says right in the, what does it say? Right in the Bill of Rights, it talks about this. And Martin Luther King hit the nail on the head. I wish that people would listen to what he really said instead of how they want to interpret it today, because it's not the same thing. You wouldn't see the gun violence. You wouldn't see the street violent protests. He was nothing about that. He was about when people, like he said in his speech, you know, we're not judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. That's America. And so if I get so upset when the media, and the media does this, Scott, and they do it pretty heavily, they always want to equate someone that's a real patriot with being some hard right radical nut. And they aren't the same thing. They're complete. It's kind of like saying that you remember that group, the West, they call themselves the Westboro Baptists.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They protested all. They were vile, nasty people. There was nothing Christian or Baptist about them. They just used a name. And, you know, it's like saying that, well, every Baptist is like them. I find that, as a Baptist, I find that very offensive. And it's the same thing. You know, I'm a patriot, but I'm not some crazy redneck that's out gonna blow up the federal building.
Well, yeah, you know, what I think about is, because obviously I had a family member who was obviously very close to me, who was involved in the war, but you would never have known that he was involved in the war. There was no tattoos that were anything about the war. He didn't talk about the war. He didn't wear shirts. It just wasn't that, he wasn't that sort of person. And I think now it's very interesting, because I know a lot of people who have family members who are enlisted or have been enlisted very recently, and it's a very big thing to wear, and nothing wrong with it, but to wear the hats and to get tattoos that have to do with the military and things of that nature. And I don't think that automatically makes a family patriotic in the sense of what we talk about on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July, just because you have a family member in the service. I think they have done a great thing by doing that. But a lot of times, they also complained a lot about it. So it's one of those, you know, I think people a lot of times don't realize what they're saying when they make those equations.
You know, it's interesting. I had a friend, bless his heart, Mike Tommaso. Loved Mike dearly. Still love him. He died a couple of years ago of cancer that got out of hand. But, you know, Mike was a veteran and an unbelievable patriot. One of the biggest. I've never seen anybody so patriotic in my life. And he knew he could. I'm not kidding you, Scott, and I'm not exaggerating. This man could quote the Constitution. He was a patriot. But you know what he said about all the heroes, calling all these guys heroes. He said it offended him, and he was a veteran. It offended him horribly. He said, when I enlisted because I enlisted. That was my job, to go do what I did. I was not a hero. A hero is someone that you pull out, that is selected out, that is something beyond measure heroic. And he said, when we call everybody because they enlist, everyone that went to service a hero, we so cheapen what a hero is that it doesn't take much to be one.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. And I think we can, you know, it's weird that you bring this up because last night I was having a conversation. I met up with a group of people and had dinner and went over to their house, and I didn't even expect to see them last night. So it was all kind of impromptu. And I was talking about the big Memorial Day coming up, you know, having the long weekend and doing the cookout, and I will go to the cemetery at some point. And I was saying how this year is so much better than last year. And the person thought, because they were aware that last year I couldn't do any of that because of the treatments I was taking, and I think they thought that's what I was talking about, and that's not what I was talking about at all. What I was talking about, I mean, part, yes, I like being able to be out this year, but what I was really talking about was the people. You know, people in your life change every day, and one thing I am very thankful for in my life right now are the people around me at this particular point in life, because sometimes you weed out who, I don't know, not that they're bad people, I'm not saying that at all, just are better off other places. And I am really excited with the people around now, and I think that's ever-changing in everybody's life.
I think so. I'm going to give a shout-out about three guys right now. One is David and Tony Tommaso. They're Mike Tommaso, the fellow I told you that just passed. Both his sons are in the service now. Tony is in Hawaii, and I think David is in Colorado. And I want to give a shout-out also to Jason Baxter. Jason Baxter has done several tours in Afghanistan. He's now out west, too, and he's training, and he's enlisted. Looks like he's going to be a lifer. He's been in there quite a while. But, you know, those guys, I know at least Jason has been in the worst of the worst. And if you talk to Jason, he would not want you to call him a hero.
You know, the word hero is interesting because I think there are some people who devote their life to heroism and you never know it. And to me, that's part of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not telling people about it.
Not telling people about it. You know, and that's just it. I mean, hey, look, those guys, I give them kudos for getting up and willing to do that every day and go out. And to me, they're kind of my hero because I look up to somebody that's that tough. But when we automatically label everyone that enlists a hero, it is, come on, guys, let's give a reason for why we do this. You may be on the verge of getting discharged and dishonorably discharged because you're such a bad person and hate it. So, and you're not a hero, but, you know, the minute you come home and wear the shirt and a hat, you know, I think that sometimes we go a little, you know, I'll tell you, you know, some other heroes, and when I think of those that have died in the line of duty, and of course this started after the Civil War, our Memorial Day basically did, memorializing those guys that died, and boy did they need it, because most of their families never got a chance to. A lot of them never came home from the battlefield, and weren't even found, and boy, that was tough times. But, you know, I think that giving a chance to memorialize those people, but also there's a group that we don't mention that aren't part of that list of service members, and that's our police officers. They're in a battlefield today. They didn't used to be in America. They used to be peacekeepers, and they're still supposed to be. But I'll tell you what, there's these... Jude Dowler's a great kid. He graduated a couple years ago. I love Jude. Jude is getting ready to start police academy here in Marion in August, and he's been doing some ride-alongs. He just graduated. He's just graduating from. He made the dean's list again at Marion for being in. What did they take? Criminal justice, I think. Mm-hmm. Dude took. But anyway, great kid. But he's going into that knowing that he's going to be a target, and they are a target today. You can't turn on the news at least once a week, there's a police officer either shot or shot at every week. And it's scary. The respect level has gone. And quite frankly, there's bad apples everywhere. You know that, Scott. There's bad apples in the news business. There's bad apples in the pulpit, you know, in what I do. It doesn't help any of us when there's bad apples. But the truth is, most of the police officers out there want to help you. They will help you. They have a service mentality of serving people, or they wouldn't be there. You got to say something about good about somebody that is willing to walk down the street knowing that at any time somebody can use them as a target. I think we need to remember them too.
You know, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? Perception is an interesting thing to talk about on Memorial Day, because the perception, I believe, is a long weekend. I believe is people don't decorate the cemeteries like they used to. People don't go to the services. I know. Thank goodness people still are. They don't go to the shows. The I don't want to call them a show, I guess. Ceremonies like they used to. They're just not as well attended as they once were. But the thing about it is it's all about perception. And the problem is that what I never understand about, like what you're saying, there are bad apples here or there. There are bad apples in the military. I mean, that's why we have dishonorable discharges.
That's right.
Okay, there are bad apples. Here's what I don't understand. Of course, this is just metaphorically, but if a house catches on fire, okay, yeah, the media is going to report on the house that's catching on fire, but why is the perception that there are no good houses? Now, that's the perception of people. The media is not saying there are no good houses. And I always wonder that when it comes to these stories, because I watch these stories very close. One of the biggest things right now, boy, you can't miss it. I was last night, the group I was with was talking about watching these shows, the crime, the murder shows that are on constantly, where real-life crime. And I said, you know, it's interesting how that's what we like to watch now. Clearly, that's what's getting the ratings. That's why it's on. Yeah. But it's not a perception that everybody's a murderer. It's just, there are murderers, but that's our perception. You know, I don't think you're a murderer. I don't think you think I'm a murderer. But if we turn on a show tonight, we can watch a murderer if we want.
Every night of the week.
Every night of the week. So
and
why
heinous crimes?
Right. So why is there a perception, just because we focus in on one person who is a murderer, that that's society? I don't think that should be the way it is. But it gets whimmed that way.
We are bombarded with it, Scott. We are bombarded with it. Flip your channels. I mean, people like to watch TV. We're lazy. You know that. It's easier to watch a TV than read a book. It just is. It's easier to watch a TV than go out and garden. It's just easy. And if show me a news channel where everything's hunky-dory. I mean, even when they got shows about the little midget people, they're fighting about something.
Well, I was going to say, people have to start watching, what can you watch?
Lassie, come home?
Something. Watch reruns.
What?
Because,
you know what? I'll tell you something funny about that. People think, oh, my kids would never watch that. My kids, a couple of my kids, they couldn't get cable or anything where they live, so all they could get was local. And they were able to tune a station in that played all oldies with a good antenna. And these kids fell in love with Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
They fell in love with all those old shows that we used to watch.
Absolutely.
And they're non, and they have good moral, they have good moral stories behind each and every one of them. And the kids love them. And now it's, you know, they talk about those shows like we used to. Don't think that your kids have to watch garbage.
No, but I perception's a weird thing to me, because it is the same. It's the same perception in life that gets us on Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day, I believe this is right, and I think you and I talked about this on the phone the other night, that I believe it was on the cover of the USA Today yesterday, more people will travel this weekend,
yes,
by plane,
yes,
than they're expecting, more than have in many, many years. Now, that's interesting that that's happening. But what that tells me is people want a long weekend. It's not the pandemic. They want to go on vacation. And I bet you there will be more proposals this weekend. More resorts will be filled up this weekend. There will be more babies conceived this weekend, because it's a happy time for people. But what in the world does that have to do with Memorial Day?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's all about a three-day weekend.
And exactly.
What can we do to enjoy ourselves?
Make ourselves happy.
But isn't that life in general today?
Well, yeah, but I think on these certain days, you know, do that on spring break. Do that on Christmas. Christmas is enjoyable.
It is very hard for people to get in the mindset of honoring a veteran when they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance in most schools. They don't teach anything patriotic anymore. They're not teaching kids the true meaning of what the founding of this country was. So much of history is being left out, you know. And that's just evident it's very evident when you talk to young people about, and I do it all the time. I have lots of grandkids. I have a lot of test subjects out there. But I talk to them, and I know full well they don't learn what you taught, and certainly not what I did even years before you. Patriotism used to be something so important that when you saw a service person in a uniform, you immediately said, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course
you look
at
them as a hero, but you know they were serving. That's what they were doing. And no, we're not fighting. There's no boxing.
is it the 12th round yet? I wonder.
But anyway, my point is they're not learning that. That's not even on the radar.
No.
Everything to do with guns and booms has to do with video games and blowing people up and shooting people. It's not about, you know, guns were something that the good guys used against the bad guys and the bad guys used against the good guys back when we used to watch TV as kids or when we learned about them. Guns at a home were never a problem because they were respected. You know, everyone that I knew grew up with a closet full of guns because their dads went hunting or got handed down by grandpa. You didn't touch them. You knew you shouldn't. When you were a certain age, your dad would teach you how to use it. It was respected. Nobody went to school and shot each other. As far back as 1980, which isn't that many years ago, our kids were still carrying shotguns in the rifle rack in the back of their truck at school because they went hunting after school. Nobody got shot. The thing is, we're not being educated to respect certain things, and certainly the military is one of them.
Oh, absolutely. And I have been on this for about the last 2 months, ever since I heard the quote of gratitude sustains optimism. Because I think that's a great, great quote. And to me, that's really what it's all about. Somebody cannot make you happier. You have got to be happy on your own. And if you are happy on your own, you will take the time to go to the cemetery. You will take the time to understand what patriotism will. You will take the time to at least acknowledge it at some point this weekend, because you're not so desperate to have that self-will to get yourself happy, which a lot of times is dependent on another person. You've got to have that in yourself. And you know what? A lot of soldiers have that. They don't depend on other people for happiness. And I think that's interesting. All those Vietnam veterans who came back, who were spit on and treated very badly, you know what? They certainly weren't getting their happiness from the people who were greeting them when they came back, because that wasn't very pleasant in the 1970s.
No, it wasn't. But you know what was a shame is they could not celebrate their camaraderie, and they could not celebrate what they'd been through.
Right.
You know, I think of my friend Jason that's serving right now, and I know what those tours have done to him, and I know the mental stress that it's put on him. And to dedicate your life to that, knowing that it's not good for you in the head, because it's not. You know, for anybody. I think that's somewhat heroic in a way. Now, just to go in and be stationed somewhere and just like a regular 9-to-5, I don't see too much heroics in that. But when you continually sign back up to go out and put yourself in danger and I look at Jason and I think, you know what, I think of those people. I know that, you know, he's alive, and Veterans Day is for those that didn't, or not Veterans Day, excuse me, Memorial Day for those that never came home. But you know what, remember something too, there's a lot of them that have come home that didn't come home the same.
Well, and that's an important thing to remember too, and not to get off in the weeds in this in our last 5 minutes, but I mean, I have known some veterans who came back, and I'm sure it was psychological damaging, but they were not nice to their boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses. They were not nice to kids. They were, and people had to step in at points, and that's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I know some stories that are so tragic.
Oh, awful.
From people I've known personally that I won't even talk about them, that have just been off the hook crazy, from guys that came back from Nam that just were very mentally damaged. Some didn't even live because of it. And there is a high suicide rate of those that come back. But I think that war is a tough thing. And you see things you don't want. You're all on a constant state of stress. And you know that stress is very damaging to you. Well, when you take stress and danger and put them together, and then to see things that are horrible. You know one of the most popular pictures ever shown in any time that got more views on and still does on social media is the picture of the Vietnam guy and the guy in Vietnam having it with a gun to his head, having his head shot when they took the camera still of the actual time when the bullet was hitting his head. You remember the picture?
I did. A horrible picture.
But you know what? It's got more views than anything else. And that's the problem, is with stuff that gets stuck in your head.
Well, it's an interesting thing of things we look for. And do you remember when Saddam Hussein was killed?
When he was hung.
Yeah. Oh, people wanted to see that. You know, I was just happy to know that he was hung. You know, that's fine. I don't need to see the whole... But people are very graphic about things, and I don't understand that to a certain degree. You know, boy, oh boy, a lot of stuff happened in war that was awful.
I wondered what was going through his mind as he was as that was going on, because I thought, you know what, I'm not a big revenge freak or anything, but, you know, the people that he tortured and hurt and, you know, just unbelievable.
You know, I think people like he and other people, I really think till their dying moment, that's the way they want to go if they've got to go, because they believe that makes them... what's the word? Matriarch.
Martyr.
Yeah, I believe that's what they believe. I believe they're doing what they think they're doing. They're dying for their cause.
Well, they're
mistaken.
We're out of time there.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, how much time we got left? 30 seconds?
About a minute.
Hey, I just want to tell you guys, it's been great talking to you. I'd love to have you come to the church sometime at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We're Community Christian Fellowship. Well, we just wrapped up serving coffee on our typical Friday mornings. You can come by, get a fresh hot muffin and a cup of coffee. Doesn't cost you a dime. But we got a lot of stuff going on, exciting times. Our trail life is going great for the boys. But love to have you. We're at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Or give me a call sometime, 740-494-2222. I will return your call. Scott, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and have that picnic.
Yes. Coming up on Monday.
Picnic. And I think we're going to probably chill out at home and see what kids show up.
Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, everybody, and we'll be back here next Friday morning at 9:15 a.m. until 10 a.m., and I'll be back after this 15-minute break. Happy Memorial Day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated,